It's your girl, Little Mo, and this is the Little Mo Show, the podcast. Welcome back. Y'all good? Yes. It's a new day. Bitch got on some new clothes, don't know how to act. And I know you're wondering, like, well, where's Skeet at? Because, you know, Skeet is a comedian, and ever since he's, like, been posting on Instagram and doing photo shoots, he ain't been here. His career done took off, so now I got to find new guests and co-hosts to help me out with the show so we don't go down downhill. Nah, but with that being said, anytime I call certain people, when I go on my real phone, when I call certain people, that means I'm calling in my reinforcement, my ammo, my people who make the world jump to make that shit go round. I hollered at my homie Fred. You're like, well, who the damn hell is Fred sitting up here in a green suit? I say he got on Gucci's. This is a... Man, you on Forbes yet?
Nah. I'm just kind of...
I think, nah, you there. But you're wondering, like, who is Fred? Does anybody know who Fred is before I tell y'all? Y'all gonna be like, get the fuck out of here. Y'all know who Fred is? I'm gonna let y'all... Fred, tell them who you are.
I'm the founder and CEO of MediaTakeout.com.
Did you know that? So all these years, what's crazy is that when I first met him, they was like, yeah, so, matter of fact, how did we first meet?
I don't even remember. We probably wrote some story about you or something.
Marriage renewal, the babies, the thing. Yeah. I done been all around the family. So we, like, we're family now, but it's crazy. I'm still trying to think who introduced us.
I think it might have been one of those times where I wrote a story about you, and then you, like,
you pulled up
on me, and I was
probably
like...
Probably so. I'm known to pull up.
I know you are. So, yeah. I mean, but then we fixed it out. We worked it out, and then we actually became friends. I got to know you and your husband. She's coming to my wedding. Of all the people in the entertainment industry, and I know a lot of people in there, Mo is, like, one of the most real people. I mean, you all know that. She'll let you know whatever you do to your face, but she's also a great hearted person. And so I've always been like, Mo, if there's ever anything that you're doing, I'd love to be a part of it. I'd love to help you out in any way that I can. And when you called me up and you were like, I got this podcast, I want you to come on, I was like, yes, obviously I will come on.
Yeah.
And I see it. It's a beautiful stage. It's a great looking audience. I mean, it's great to be here. So
thanks for joining us today. A lot of people automatically assume when you see Media Takeout or a blog, they always think that those are ran by bitter Black women, especially when it's geared towards the urban community. And Media Takeout, what is it known as? The number one urban news site?
We're the number one urban news site.
Because you're not a blog.
We're a news organization. We have reporters.
Black TMZ.
Yeah. If you look at our staff or our company, it looks a lot like TMZ. We've got a news desk. We've got people over there. I'm kind of like the Black Harvey standing up.
Because you're a lawyer, too.
I'm a lawyer, right.
See?
So there's a lot of similarities between us.
When people are like, I'm going to sue Media Takeout, you ain't suing shit. He's a lawyer. Like, that's what I be trying to say. People, the funny part of it all.
Go put that out there, Mo. It's going to get hot if you say that.
No, it is. The block do be hot. But at the end of the day, you have a job to do. And that's what I respect about you, is because a lot of people who run these blog sites, they have, it seems like, personal vendettas, or they're vindictive, or they're angry, or they pick on certain artists. But one thing I know about y'all is y'all stay current. But I also noticed that I think it's a marketing, and I think it's genius, but y'all do it. And people, I love comment sections. If you want to get your life, your laugh, and your liberty, go to the comment section, especially with Media Takeout. Y'all the first one who had that shit. People been clout chasing. People been talking crazy. But everybody said, y'all spell everything wrong. And I'm just like, is that on purpose?
You know, I got to say, we've been, like, going through editors over and over. I mean, sometimes we have our staff will rush to kind of get something out there, right?
Gotcha. When tea come in, you spill it.
So they get it out there. And then sometimes it takes a while for the editor to catch up. And so you're kind of caught in the middle, and you're like, oh, look at that misspelling. And then you go back maybe like a day later, and you're like, okay, it's cleaned up. So, I mean, we were really bad at the spelling before.
Gotcha.
But we've done a lot of things to kind of get it better now. And I think if you look at the new site, we just relaunched it.
Okay.
I think 2 or 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. The site looks cleaner. There's a lot fewer misspellings, hopefully. And I think everything just looks a lot more clean and professional.
How did Media Takeout get started? Because, listen, everybody got tea, and with social media being the number one marketing tool, how do you keep on and manage to stay ahead of the game? Because it seems like when y'all first came out, it was just y'all, world star, like that had that real hardcore, oh my God, like where did they get this information from? But real rap, have the damn information y'all get is either from the person they self or from their team.
Right. I mean, you got to think about it, right?
Because everybody ain't peaking all the time.
We started 11 years ago. And 11?
11?
Right. So 11 years ago, it was a completely different market. I mean, when you think about it, then there really wasn't, there weren't that many places where gossip was even being told, right?
Especially for black people.
For black people.
The only people that were doing it was Wendy Williams.
Right.
Who else?
There was like a couple of other radio DJs around. There's like
Miss Jones did it. But right. A lot of people were getting fired for it. But y'all sustained.
Right. But that was kind of it, right? Because whenever you did gossip, there was no real benefit to it. So like if you were at a radio station and you did gossip, mm-hmm. you were kind of like the pariah of the radio station.
Or the hater.
Yeah. Well, people didn't really like
Star.
You because they were like, hey, we really want all these celebrities to come to the radio station to give positive interviews.
Yeah.
And here we got this one person on the interview messing it up and hating on everybody.
But now it's
the complete opposite.
Ain't that crazy?
Right? Yeah. So when we were able to come in, it wasn't even like the door was completely wide open because nobody was out there doing it. Because anyone that did it was kind of becoming a pariah if you worked at a radio station. And if you didn't, the internet was just so new, people didn't really even know how to use it and get it out there. So when we came out there with this model of putting that black celebrity news online,
okay.
it just kind of took off. There weren't a lot of us doing it and it was a lot easier. Now obviously it's
so good. Your first start, like what made you say this is what I'm gonna do? Like from going to you went to Harvard?
No, I went to Columbia.
I was supposed to go there, but when it happened, well, no. So, yeah. Like, your first story, do you remember what your first story was? And were you the first writer, or was you just like, did somebody have a vision, bring it to you, and you brought it to fruition?
In the beginning, it wasn't even really about writing articles. It was really more so just kind of writing headlines and links. If you look at, like, a site like the Drudge Report, it really was more like that. We weren't even really writing articles. But then someone dropped an article, and it was a friend of mine that just gave me an article. And they were like, hey, listen, I got this tea. You got to run with this. And so I was like, wow, I don't, because it was outside of the business model. Like, what am I going to do with this? No one was really doing, you know, the full blown kind of putting it in print and writing it out
right
there.
Then and there.
And so I was like, you know, I took the chance. I was like, you know, this is something that I know is true. This is something that I think a lot of people want to know about. And so we wrote about it. And I think the time it was about a gospel artist, Hezekiah Walker, was going through a divorce. And we wrote about his divorce and some of the details of his divorce. And this is before it came out.
Church people, that's where the biggest
and that's what it was.
Messiest gospel is in the church.
Right. And that was the thing.
Then you want some tea.
But the thing about it that was so crazy is like they gave me that tea and it was just kind of like a weird, like crazy thing.
Do you remember who sent it in?
I can't even remember.
Somebody
it was so long.
Church.
It was like 11 years ago. But it was somebody that I knew. It was like a personal relationship that I knew that was like, that like gave it to me. And it was just like one of those odd. There was no reason for them to do
did
it.
Did they tell everything? Because let me tell you what I heard.
What she did?
They said that Monique, like, she was like, they kicked out the church. They threw the chair out. They was like, you're not the first lady. No, like, they said it was wow. That was allegedly. Like, the way she found out that their marriage was over, she went to church one day, and the first lady's seat wasn't there anymore. Like, they literally escorted her out.
The entire situation was real messy. There was, like, allegations of cheating and stuff like that. So it was all kinds of craziness, right?
Yeah, they said it was allegations of cheating, but it was deeper than that.
Yeah, I know. I remember.
Yeah.
So, but the thing that was crazy about it is, like, when we, and this is how we really blew up. Like, mm-hmm. Someone gave me that story like in like December, and I've been sitting on it and kind of like wondering what I was going to do.
You prayed about it? Because you know, when you church tea, you got it's real touchy. Don't you be talking about my bishop.
Well, the thing is, I knew it was true, right? So it's like, if it was something that was like, oh, maybe there's something on it or not. But this was like 100% confirmed. Like, there was
they
no,
had photos and
like
screenshots.
I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to like explain like how. Yeah.
You just don't want to be
but
a
there
snitch.
But there was somebody out there. This was like 100% true. It was something that was known. And it was something that like a lot of people were like, yo, you got to get this out. There wasn't even like.
Did you call people to verify? Was you
we
like,
did.
I knew once I got this, that means go.
But no, we called, we verified. We had people. People were like, go with this. Like, please, we need you. It wasn't even like a, oh, we're going to try and put somebody on blast. It was like, please, this needs to be done here. Do it. Right. So and when we went, so we published a story and it just so happened. It was like the night we did it, the morning of the Grammys. The Grammys were like the night before. And he had like a surprise performance on the Grammys and came out and started singing with Mariah Carey at the Grammys. Oh. So it was like everybody, his name was already on everybody's
so
mouth.
Y'all perfect time.
And then we hit him the next Monday. And it wasn't, that was just like total.
That's like God's plan.
We weren't even thinking about it. And it just happened. Like he had this great big moment and then boom, like a lot of the stuff just hit him right after that.
Do you ever get backlash for that? Who do they write? Do they email you?
Well, that email like, us man, or our lawyers or, I mean, there's a whole, there's, we have
you
a
You have a lawyer?
Oh, yeah, we got everything.
You trust somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm involved in, you know, when you're running a company, I mean, like you're running your company.
And I don't trust nobody.
Right. You can have lawyers, but you're making sure that you're involved and you understand what's going on, what they're doing, and make sure that you're...
What does this mean?
Right, right. So I'm always involved in it, and I do have a legal background, so I understand a lot of that stuff. But if there is any backlash, it usually comes from, like, lawyers, or maybe it comes to, like,
what did they write and say? Cease and desist?
Yeah, sometimes they'll do that. Sometimes it's...
How do you get that overridden?
Well, so a lot of times, it's like a typical, like, lawyer trick, right? Like, you... Think about it. If you were telling the truth, if you are a news publication, which we are, and you're telling the truth, that's an absolute defense to any kind of legal claim like defamation or libel or whatever.
Well, you have to say allegedly, right?
Well, yeah, but sometimes you don't even have to say allegedly if it's true, right? Like, if somebody did something and you're reporting on something that they did, they can't come back and sue you and say...
But what if they say, no, that's from your vantage point? Like, how... Because it's real... Back then, y'all would release stuff, and people, oh, that's not true. It's, now, people... I know you've seen the shift. Now you have to say allegedly because people that know that's not what happened. And we'll talk about a lot of stories because I want your input on everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, do you ever be like, are these motherfuckers ever going to get their shit together? Sometimes I look at stories and I'm like, they doing this for publicity. Or has anybody ever sent you something? You be like, okay, this may be true, but you just looking for attention.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. I mean, whenever we're getting stories and people are trying to plant stories, there's always an agenda to it, right?
Gotcha. Like, so people ever ask for money?
For a story?
Yeah.
People ask for money all the time.
Have you ever cut a check?
You know, it's interesting that you ask that question. So the answer is just generally no. Sometimes we'll pay for photographs and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
Which is a little bit different. But the problem with paying for stories is you get people out there who will create these real crazy stories,
baby,
and then they'll do it for money. I got a story about that. So there was like, in the beginning, we didn't know, we wanted like a whole bunch of stories. There was a lot of other competition out there, so we were like, we will pay for stories.
Gotcha.
And so this dude wrote in. He was like, you know, it was a young man. He was like, you know, he called up. He was teary. He was like, you know, I was sexually abused by this man who's a prominent R&B singer, and he was like, I have documents. I have everything.
See, oh.
And the dude, his story, everything was checking out.
It seemed airtight.
It seemed airtight because he had, like, crafted, like, the lies so close to the truth.
Hannibal
Lecter. He had merged it kind of like that. And I was like, yo, we were just ready to go with this story. And this story would have been big. This was a big R&B singer. And the story was 100% not true. So I was like, I was sitting on it.
How did you find out? When did y'all find out it wasn't true?
Check this out. So I was like, the night before, I was like, we were ready to go.
Everything happened the night before, Fred.
Maybe it was too nice. But I was ready to go. I had our like top lead writer read the full story about it. We had pictures on. We had it ready to go. All you do is like hit a button and it was going to get set. And so like I have like friends in other publications.
Gotcha.
So I had a buddy of mine who worked over at the National Enquirer, and I was just talking to him, just so happened to be talking to him about something else. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, we got this big story that we're going to go. He was like, yo, you know, we have this, you're in New York, we have this lie detector dude. If you want, we can, you know, I could let you use him and you could use it for this guy. And it'll just, if anything, it'll just make your story even stronger. You could be like, any pass the lie detector test.
Ooh.
And he's ready, available for
Russell
tomorrow.
What is going on?
Right. He was like, he's available tomorrow. So you could bring your guy in there. He could do the lie detector test. And then it's not even going to really mess up your schedule. Get a day later. So I called up my dude. I was like, hey, look, great news. We can get the lie detector test in. You could pass the lie detector test, and then that'll make your story even stronger. Everybody will pick, the whole world will pick it up at that point, and then you could really kind of...
Because credibility was honestly on the line just by this.
Yeah, but it was more than credibility. I mean, you go over there and say, like, a male R&B superstar is raping a kid. Like, that's crazy to just even be putting that out there.
Yeah.
Right. So I talked to the dude. I was like, hey, why don't you go and take the lie detector test? And then he started acting funny. He was like, oh, I don't know about that. I'm like, well, what do you mean? I'm thinking, like, he would want to do this.
Yeah.
And then he started just playing games or whatever. He was like, okay, I don't even think I want to do this story. But the moral of the story is the dude made up this thing because he thought he was going to get this bag. If people want it, people are going to do things. They're not going to go through all that kind of craziness for clout, even though now maybe they will because times are changing.
You see,
but for money... For money, people will do all kinds of things. They will sit up. They will plan. They will spend weeks and months figuring out how to trick you into publishing a story.
And there are people, have y'all ever fell for anything before and be like, oh my God, how did we see? Because there's some people, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell y'all, this is real true. There are people that I know right now that have been in rooms next to Michelle Obama. They tricked their way in. He was on Catfish. And I don't know if y'all ever read a story on him. And his name is, he used to go by Kid Cole. He was on the show Catfish. And he infiltrates the whole music industry. He was at Summer Jam. And you know can't nobody get tickets to that. Yeah. He was backstage. They say he did something in Philly with Michelle Obama, Kelly Rowland, all of them was there. His room was next to Michelle Obama's. But he sends these emails and stuff. What's crazy is that's my ex-husband's son. So everybody's thinking he's related to me. I'd be like, I got some shit with me, bro. So I'm calling my daughters like, look at your brother. That ain't none of my damn brother. You are mother. That's daddy's son. I say, yo, like, it's crazy. But for years, but he formulates stuff and it's so believable.
Let me tell you, I mean, there are people out there that they do that, especially like a lot of times you got to watch when it's like jilted women. Right. So like we get
that one is messy.
Right. So like a lot of times you'll get like NBA players or like football players or whatever, and they'll have like a jilted girlfriend and they'll just try and like throw stuff at them. They'll come up with all kinds of crazy.
Oh, I got a
lot
of it is
lies. Yeah. A lot of it is lies because in their mind, they don't really have anything to lose. Like if you are like an instant thought that's like messing with. You know, you messing with like everybody. A superstar.
Yeah.
You know what's gonna happen? Or if you put out some fake stuff, what's he gonna do? What's he gonna? He gonna sue you for your breast implants or something?
Yeah.
So he can't. They could do nothing. They're like, I'm gonna put whatever out there, and I don't care, and I'm just gonna let it kind of ride. But we have to be able to see through that because you know it's our credibility's on the line, right?
Yeah.
We got a lot more than a couple of breast implants to lose, so we gotta like. Take some time and kind of go through the story and make sure that it's
what real. Was one of y'all biggest stories to date? What's y'all number one? Because I know y'all go off of site clicks and hits. Y'all getting like 3 million or more?
Yeah. I mean,
because y'all was at 3 million 3 years ago.
No, we're at 30 million people a month, and we get like
and that's unique, ain't it?
That
ain't
just so on any given day we can have a story that reaches 2-3 million people.
Do y'all hear that? 30 million. That means people peeking. People newsy.
Yeah.
30 I mean, million. But who's counting?
Right.
So what was y'all, what do you think y'all biggest story? What's the one that when they name pop up? Because I've heard from a lot of blogs and websites, they say, yeah, every time y'all name come to the system, y'all go through the roof. I said, yes, they go another check for me. Because a lot of people would be like, y'all marriages and shit. I said, bitch, y'all fall for that shit. But okay, we'll give y'all what y'all want. But at the same time, you can't play with it because there's some real shit being happening. And you up there crying wolf. And your ass be like, Fred, tell them don't put that out there. Yeah. But what's I already know people always want to know. Who sleeping with who? A lot of it's played out, but I know there was a time when, because everybody's coming out the woodwork with saying that they were sexually assaulted. People are even dating things back to. I just saw one yesterday for Russell Simmons back to 1990.
Yeah, that's tough, right? So like, as far as like all
are those
that,
big
the Me
hits,
Too,
like when
the
people want to know about the sexual assault,
people want to know, right? But a lot of times you see these Me Too, these Me Too stories, and everybody like right now, you got to take things in perspective.
I'm about
right?
to start a new movement hashtag Nah, yo, because people be lying.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that they're lying.
Not those, but it's a lot of liars. Trust
you know,
me.
You know, it was a wild thing, right? Like I was
they
listening to another podcast about, and it was with Malcolm Gladwell. Right.
He's, never heard of him.
So it's another podcast. And he talks about like memory, like what happens to people who have been in a traumatic instance.
Exactly.
And what happens to their memory over time. And he was talking about Brian Williams. Remember the dude on NBC, Brian Williams? He was in that. He was lying about being in the airplane getting shot down. And then they fired him. Right. So and then he went on TV and he was like, oh, well, I misremembered or whatever. Everybody's like, this dude is up there lying again. Can he just say he lied?
Crack.
Right. So Malcolm Gladwell did like a study and he had all these dudes about with the
because is
the
that
brain.
Illusions, the grandeur, or was it grandiose illusions? Because sometimes people
listen,
really think.
Check this out. He was like, yo, that what happens is over time when you're telling the story, it can get twisted and you could literally believe like that happened, but it never happened. So he was like that there is he and he, they did a study. They were like, you know, all these people that are like, oh, this is what I was doing on 9/11. Like on 9/11, I was in school or 9/11. I was with my friend. And so what they did is then they would if you said you were with your friend, they would go ask your friend. what happened. And they found out that it was almost never the same story. Just people's minds just over time, like your memory just changes and then it just turns into something else. So I'm not even saying that these women are necessarily lying. I'm not even saying Russell Simmons did it or not. I'm saying that the when you start taking things that happened 20 and 30 years ago.
And you smashed so many niggas in between.
That's what I mean. What happened 20, 30 years ago and you trying to take what Russell Simmons said and you realize that his memory is probably skewed and then the woman's memory is probably skewed. It's hard to ever get to the reality, to the truth of these situations. So this is a tough
place for everybody to be. It's almost like you versus me. It's him. It's him versus her and the truth. What, three sides of every story?
Right. And then the other thing, too, is there are people in this industry that just keep it 100 are just, like, known as being creeps. Like, Russell Simmons has a history. Like, people know not of being a rapist, but of a dude that just, like, presses up
and
on women.
It's just like when they touch the small back. Like, why do you have to touch me?
Right. But there's nothing, like, criminally wrong with that if that's how
he
operates.
To me. I've done his, when him and Reverend Al Sharpton, they had the, what was it, the National Action Network, because Valisha was working for him. What's crazy is that he's never come off creepish to me.
Right.
But maybe it's because, honestly, I think people are creeps. Like, people know who to creep out.
That's what I
people
mean.
People know who to pull up on.
Right.
Like, I don't give off that, like, could just pull up on me. And what's crazy, I might not give that off, but I might be just as thotty as the next one, but you won't know that.
Right.
So it's just like, it's just all about what you accept, what you answer to, and stuff like that. And it just feels that, like, do you think, because just changing from there were people, you wasn't allowed to talk crazy about Russell Simmons and them back in the day. Harvey Weinstein, like, if you mention their name, you better be saying good or should check get cut.
Right.
What do you think has shifted? Is it social media has empowered the thumbs and the people from behind the screen to be like, yeah, you did this to me too. Like, how do he got? I'm not. Let me have this. Golly, like, how much dick he got to pass around? He got kids. Like, in between all of this happening, that's when he was with Kamara. Like, God, come on, man, you're sitting all like this, balls all hanging all out the thing. What the fuck wrong with this thing? Like, I'm trying to figure out. Like, how did he have time to do this? When did he have the time? He supposed to be running Def Jam. This nigga up here whispering in bitches' ears like the chick told. Said the book publisher, the granddaughter said he breathed on me. I'm like, damn, bitch, how you have time?
I agree. I'm not trying to put
y'all don't be thinking like that. Like these, I mean, like yo, is these niggas this weird?
Right. The thing about it is, especially when you start talking about the Me Too movement, we're talking about criminal acts or people doing things that are just is beyond being a creep, beyond being like sleazy. You're talking about people that are just like encroaching on people's body, their space, and in the case of Russell Simmons, they're talking about actual physical sexual assault and rape.
Or making him pop a pill.
Yeah.
Did it make you feel a sort of way when you saw the Bill Cosby stuff?
See,
because
the Bill Cosby
era,
stuff is
like,
even worse.
America's dad.
Like, the Bill Cosby stuff is even worse because you talk about stuff that were like 50 years ago.
Like, and now these women, you talking old, about, and they told me, child.
Now, how do you remember what happened 50 years ago? And the other thing about the Bill Cosby case that's just a little bit different is the way, and this is the other thing about media and why, like, I think it's so important to have a strong African-American media. Because what happens is the media gets a narrative, and then they twist it, and they run with it, and then people just believe it to be true, and they just kind of go.
Yep.
And a lot of it is built or based on racism, right? So they'll just say, oh, black person. And then they'll create a narrative that's consistent with all the stereotypes that you have about black people. And so everybody will just kind of run with it and it'll kind of go. And so you have to have a strong African-American media to counteract that. So just to tell you just the general gist of the Bill Cosby story. Mm-hmm. If you or I were to tell our friend about what happened, you'd say Bill Cosby was out there dropping roofies on these women and then they were going
I'm
to
like,
sleep.
He might
right?
have been a rapper.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the story that everybody told.
Yeah.
That's not true. That's
really?
100% not true what happened. What they're saying is what Bill Cosby, what the truth is, they're saying Bill Cosby gave these women Quaaludes and then they got into some kind of a stupor and then they went to sleep. Now, why is that distinction so important?
That's almost
because
like necrophilia.
Quaaludes in the 70s, when these dudes was doing it, that was like Molly or like weed.
Okay.
Like when you went out to the club,
you took
Quaaludes.
Yeah.
When you invited a woman over to the crib, you brought Quaaludes. Like
living.
It wasn't like something crazy like that this dude had to sneak to you and be like, okay, let me see. If the dude had it, you were like, okay, let's get a poppin'. Like
everybody
that's just what we
especially
did.
Especially in L.A.
Right.
Especially in the industry.
Right. So let's just keep that in perspective. So when these when they talking about Bill Cosby drugging these women, mm-hmm. Bill Cosby had drugs after his house, and we don't know if these women took it willingly. And a lot of these women that we're saying that he drugged them took it willingly. They said, yes, give me these Quaaludes, like, because that was what it was at that time.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, so now that you understand that, and we, you know, once you see it from that prism, then the whole story just starts looking a little weird, because it's not clear that he really was drugging these women. And then you don't know, you know, you know, a lot of times people taking drugs or drunk, and then they wake up with somebody and they don't know where it was. Does that mean that somebody drugs you and did that, or did you both get drunk and kind of go too far, or what exactly is that situation? So I think with Bill Cosby, it's a lot more complicated. And then, like I said, you're talking about stuff that happened 50 years ago.
He was married to Camille. It's just like, wow. Just certain things people do. I guess, I don't know, maybe that was a time he didn't realize who he was or whatever was going through his mind. But that was, honestly, if 50 years ago he was doing this, that whole Cosby era, actually, where everybody thought he's America's dad, we want to be like the Cosby Show, I want to have that close-knit family, because he brought you through the motions, which honestly made us fall in love with him. And now his whole legacy is down the drain. They take everything back, because it's just like, man, this whole time you was frauding.
And that is true, though. I think that Bill Cosby,
like, that hurts.
It does. I mean, for all of us that kind of saw Bill Cosby as kind of this character,
he was the dad that honestly everybody wanted. The kids ain't never getting no whoopings. Like, it was just like, oh my God, he could talk to
them. And they have right money, right?
Like, yes, a doctor and a lawyer.
I know. See, that was like everybody.
Matter of fact, even if they ain't had no job, the fact to have a two-parent household, right. That's people used to call my family the fake-ass Cosbys. They was like, I mean, nobody else don't got a dad. So when my dad would pick us up from school, I literally used to hide, because I'd be like, Dad, why do you have to come get us from school? Nobody else has a dad. I'd be like, wait, what do you mean? I actually argued with my mother one time, because I was just like, why you have to be with dad? Nobody. I literally used to think that the fact that I had a mom and dad in the house was an issue, a problem. Because people in school made me feel bad, like, your daddy coming up here in suits and his military uniform, like, just really drawing on him. And I'm like, but now I realize because I saw the positive role models and I saw the Cosbys and they called us the fake ass Cosby. But now I look back, I'm like, I'm glad my dad was not that monster. So you mean to tell me this man captured all of our hearts to go fuck some bitch with the money that he made off his show? Like, you drawn.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about Bill Cosby is he certainly was not a perfect man, right? Like, let's assume that.
I can see if he smoked a little. I would rather him have been a heavy, be like, yo, y'all ain't know that nigga used to sniff wild coke.
I mean, he was out in the streets. He was with the Dots.
He was married.
That's the thing. So everyone knew this about him. Like, if you didn't, these are like the things that are whispered behind the scenes. I mean, you know, you're in the industry, so you hear all this stuff about people.
And they dusted it under the rug. Like, so there's
a public opinion for most celebrities, and then there's privately what everybody knows about him.
Hello.
And for the most people, most of the audience doesn't really know that side of him, right? So when you talk about Bill Cosby, we saw that public face, but there was this private side that everyone in the industry knew. And to all those men that have those, that like to go out there with a bunch of women, and like to mess around with thots, these are the men that are that you could easily just come out there and say, me too him, especially if they black. You could be like, okay, that dude is out there with five or six different women, let me too him. And everybody will believe it, because they'd be like, oh yeah, I remember when I was in the club with him in 2006 and he tried to holler at me. So maybe he is this creepy dude. Maybe he is doing this stuff to women. So that's the thing that goes on. So when you look at the people that they're getting, Harvey Weinstein, Russell Simmons,
like, his hands stink. Like, I
Bill Cosby. These are people that have like the worst of worst reputations
but
in the industry.
Look at them. Like, Harvey Weinstein looks like, he looks like Shrek mixed with, like, he just gives me this vibe. I don't even want to, I know they, oh, he got all this money, he was the one that did this. I don't be giving a fuck, because I just be like, yo, I can feel people's spirit through the phone. I'm like, nope, I don't want to even shake his head, because I know it's moist and it's aggravated and he's going to get on my nerves. But let us take a quick break, because I want to get into some more tea, because everybody's cutting up. And like I said earlier, don't you ever want to say, well, y'all get it the fuck together? Like, do media take out want to be like, yep, we ain't got no news today. Everybody is being on their best behavior. So we'll be back more with the Little Mo Show, because we got to talk about Nas, 50, and LaShawn, my damn Coy. Whew, when we return. Whoo, child, I just got to fan myself. It's so hot up in here. Welcome back to the Little Mo Show. I'm your host, Little Mo. And give yourself a round of applause for getting all this tea. Ciao. I knew this was going to be one of my favorites to have Fred with me. Do you just want to be known as the guy that owns Media Takeout? Just give some a list of your titles, because you're a husband, a father, and then there's...
Yeah, so I'm a husband, been married for 11
Get
years.
Get it right.
I know, right? Yeah. I think it's 11 years. I have three kids. I know that for sure.
Because they're triplets, right?
Yeah, so
the cutest kids ever. They be dancing for them because they big. They probably taller than me now.
Yeah, 7 years old. I mean, time flies, right?
Game.
So, you know, and that's another thing, right?
I like, play that number, 777. Whew. Anyway.
So, you know, you start this company. I started this company 11 years ago, and I was, you know, in my mid-20s, I think, or 30s.
But what was you doing before that?
So before that, I went to law school and business school.
Okay.
And I graduated. And at the time I was going to school, it was like the dot-com era. So everybody thought that they were going to be this dot-com billionaire.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be one. So I went out and kind of tried my luck with a joint startup, a telecommunications startup.
Gotcha.
And it didn't work. The economy turned around, and I essentially lost everything that I had in there. I was young enough so I didn't really have anything to lose.
Okay.
But so I had to kind of put my tail between my legs, and then I went to Wall Street and worked as a lawyer there for 3 years.
Dang.
And that was time to kind of reflect on all the mistakes that I made as a young entrepreneur.
Well, Wall
especially
Street?
As a young, well, yeah, right.
Ain't that crazy? You
yeah,
go to Wall Street.
It's good
like,
to fall down
yeah.
and go and land on Wall Street.
Up.
Yeah. But I mean, at the time, I thought that that was impossible. I thought that there was no way that I wasn't going to come out there and be the next Bill Gates or, you know, or Mark Zuckerberg or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know. And I was making a lot of really bad mistakes. And part of that was just youth. And part of that was being like, and I find that, you know, now that I've been around for a little while and I'm a lot more successful and I've been investing in companies, I see a lot of young African-American entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. It's just really a missing certain like pieces.
That's what I was going to ask you. What do you think is missing? Because with social media, everybody thinks, okay, as soon as I put it out there, it's going to go viral and then I'm going to blow up. And I'm just like, no, it doesn't work like that. Like you're 11 years in. It didn't happen overnight. When did you know that Media Takeout was like, there had to have been a point where you're like, oh my God, I ain't on Wall Street no more. Lord, what I'm going to do.
Yeah, well, the thing about Media Takeout is it was like other. I was working with a number of businesses, and they took a long time to kind of ramp up and really get big.
Okay.
Media Takeout was a little bit different. Within 6 months in, I knew it was going to be big, right? Like I had an idea that it was big before.
You came up with the name?
Yeah.
Dope.
So, but 6 months in, I knew it was coming in. It was making money. It was growing. It was popping in the streets. So it was clear to me and everyone else that this was going to be something. Whereas I think most businesses that you start, it really takes a long time to go.
Yeah, they say 5 years to really get it.
Yeah, it usually takes 5 years to even break even, right? Like you're losing money for the first 5 years and then you just start making money. So it's, Media Takeout luckily is one of those businesses that isn't like that. And that's why I think you see a lot of us, our people that go on the internet because it's kind of easy, right? Like you don't really need anything more than just kind of like a good makeup game and a clever Instagram name.
Yeah.
And then you can go out there and turn yourself into a big money maker.
That's what I'm saying. How did y'all, I know I asked you how did y'all sustain with so many things changing, but how did y'all manage to stand out? Because I know a lot of, I guess like urban sites have closed. Is Nicole Bitchy? I remember I come from like the Sandra Rose, Nicole Bitchy.
Yeah.
What else is out back then? It was like so many things,
yeah,
but
I mean,
Media Takeout is still popping, but there's a lot of things come and go.
That's the thing. I mean, you know, in the end, and I believe this just in life, like if you really are putting in the hard work and you have the talent around you, over time, talent shows, right? Like you can call us competitors for a year or two, but where are we going to be 3 years from now or 4 years from now or 5 years from now? And that's what, you know, that's the kind of thing that I try and instill in everybody that's in the team, right? That's, look, we're not trying to just win the day. We're trying to win the long term, for the long term. So we're trying to kind of create good habits, build a rapport with our audience, kind of make sure that we understand what's really going on.
Gotcha.
And, you know, and this is, I think, a big difference between us and I think a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we really are about our audience, right? Like, we are really here to serve our audience. Like, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter who my favorite artist is. It doesn't matter who any of the favorite artists. It doesn't matter who my friends or anyone else. we are reporting on people that the audience cares about. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, I mean, there have been reports that really have broke my heart.
That's what I was about to ask. You're just like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, I mean, like their childhood idols that you see and you're just like, damn.
Man, that nigga gonna crack.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, I don't want to do, I don't want to have to put this out.
Yeah.
But they go and they don't listen to me. They put it out and they just like, you know, let it go. Well, and that's how you have to be in this industry.
I'm glad you said that. Speaking of putting out. Does anybody ever heard of the name DJ Nabs? You know who DJ Nabs is? A well-known DJ. Well, who did he DJ for? I remember. Wasn't he from Atlanta?
He was from Atlanta. I think he did stuff for like the East Side Boys.
He was with the Brat at one time. So he was from the Down South Circle. That's where I remember him from, Brat and stuff. But how would the title read? I know that that's what is going to capture a lot of people. DJ Nabs left his wife for what they said is an insta-thot. Her name is Jessica Santos. And Santos didn't come home one night, and he got like kind of like, where you at? Nas was in town, Nasty Nas, Escobar. Now he is Nostradamus, Nasir Jones, everybody's baby daddy, was creeping with the man. This man left his wife for a thought. The thought left him for Nas, but that's not even his chick for real.
Right. I mean, that story was interesting because remember, think about it.
How would y'all title it so to make everybody like, ooh, I want to know?
Yeah, I'm not even sure how we did it, but it was that story had a lot of like interesting angles.
Yeah.
I mean, so when we're thinking about like how to do a
Lifetime movie.
Right. We're trying to think about how to do a title. We're thinking about, okay, everybody's just kind of tells you what happened.
Nas
right?
is nasty. Right. Nabbing, Nasty Nas is nabbing Nabs.
That, you know, Mo, that wasn't even the most interesting part, right? Like, the story is that this guy named DJ Nabs, Nas was basically banging out his girl, right? So that was a story, and that's interesting, I guess. But the more interesting part to the whole thing was that it was Nabs who went to the publication to tell him.
Come on, I want
to
speak my truth. Yeah, like, he wrote Nas a letter.
The dude went to the he put himself up, but he's basically
he
like, my
himself,
girl.
Though.
Yeah, how crazy do you
look? You leave your wife, and now you have to, he wrote her apology. That's what they said.
But like,
if Nas
is smashing your chick, right, you need to just,
let
you know
it
what
be.
I mean? That's what I mean. You need to just charge her to the game, you know what I mean, and move on, right? But not you.
So how was it, sis?
Dude went to the New York Post, page 6. It was like, page 6, I want to put my girlfriend on blast. She was cheating on me. Like, you look crazy doing that. And
he
so
real crazy.
Like, for us, like, the title would probably be something that captures that. Like, this dude is out here looking crazy. And Nas is smashing his girl, he's out here looking like some kind of.
But Nas not even checking it up. Like,
Nas don't care. Like, Nas might not even remember, right? Like, Nas probably running through so many dots. He might be like, which dot was that? You know?
Yeah. But they said she's kind of famous. I guess I've never heard of she. Like, I don't even know who she was. But the karma that he got for leaving his wife, who did nothing.
And that's the thing, too. You know, that wife is loving that story. The wife is looking at it right now.
She's like, I told you.
He is looking real bad. Right.
She doing all of this in his face.
She is having a good day. That was one of her best days, seeing that story.
She's living her best life.
Yep.
Because that's one of, remember when, what's that show with the man, Maury? When they tell you that's not your baby, had to be dancing and doing all that. I bet you she danced. Baby, I would have texted him all types. Like, that's what you get, bitch. I told you she was dirty. And I would have been all loud. Talking like, I told your ass. I would have been like, y'all see it? Y'all see it? I would have been all ghetto and ratchet with it, and I wouldn't care. So the next story, when I heard about it, I was just like, wow. 50. Because I love me some 50. Known him for over 20 years. Yeah, because we both started out in Queens, and everybody that knows 50 knows that he gives zero fucks. But it was crazy is he cares, but he don't. Because it's all business, it's all to make you laugh, and I honestly think that he doesn't personally mean any harm, because if he wants to get at you, he can't. Everybody knows he can, because it's just like he's untouchable. He picks on Puffy, he talks about everybody. But this week, he with the release of Power, and well, that's 2 weeks ago, but with this week he posts, you know, to get the strap. So he ruffled some of Papoose's feathers. He posted a photo of Pap's wife, which is Remy Ma. And basically everybody said, oh, he gave her a compliment. It's not that serious. He was just like, you lost a lot of weight. You look great. I don't know if he said get the strap. Whatever the case may be, Papoose went in the comment section. Because I don't know how he, maybe I don't know how he saw it. Or somebody probably, you saying this? Media takeout talking you know, about it.
I'm going to give a little bit more background on this, right? So, Remy and Fifth know each other.
Yes.
Like, they cool, and she went out to L.A., I think it was last month or the month before, to, like, shoot, because Fifth has that BET special. Mm-hmm. I forgot what it's called.
It's 50, not 50 Central.
Yeah, whatever 50 Central, that's it.
Is it the 50
Central? BET 50 Central. So she was out there, and she shot a lot of scenes for that, and she did stuff with 50. They might have even been doing music together, whatever else. So,
but it was all totally platonic. Nothing.
Right, No, Pap was there, too. It wasn't like she was out there with him, whatever. So they were all in L.A. together, whatever. So we don't know. Like, for all we know, like, when they were out there, maybe something was said. Or maybe, you know, maybe 50 said something or rubbed him the wrong way, rubbed Papoose the wrong way while the way he's seen 50 interact with her. And so when he did this, when he put this out there saying this compliment, it was likely more so like something had happened before. And Pap was like, because now you're taking it to this level right over here.
You
right? Because
if it was just his girl, but that's his wife. That's the only, it's something about married people. Even though it be stuff that's going on, I don't touch people's marriages and I don't mess with people's kids.
But Fifth knows her, right? Like, if he knows you,
do you
right?
Think so he was out of line for posting up and saying that she basically looked nice, she lost weight and stuff like that?
There's actually one other piece to it that he might have been like,
who had a pocket
like Papoose might have been thinking the Fifth was trying to like throwing some like side shade on it, right? Which is that Remy is 4 months pregnant. Right?
Yeah.
So
the
idea.
And she looks great, by the way.
Obviously, she does. Right. So maybe he's thinking like, "Hey, Remy is supposed to be 4 months pregnant, so she was supposed to be gaining weight." And Fifth is talking about she's losing weight. What's he trying to say? Like, is he trying to like imply something about my wife, or like, you know what I mean? Like,
he got in his feelings.
So it was probably some of that. It was like I said, because they knew each other, they got a history.
Yeah.
Maybe he saw something between Fifth and Remy that he didn't like. And so when he saw this, that just kind of triggered it. So I think that there's more to it than just a simple wrote this, and then Papoose just is a sensitive dude
said,
and did
he
this.
He tweeted, well, he commented to Fifth's baby mother, the baby, Daphne Joyce, and said, hey, he's not really a gentleman. If you want to, you know, feel like a queen or whatever the case may be, then I'll hook you up with my homeboys. It's just certain things I just won't post. Like, because we know Pap is one of the most loyalist riders. Like, he loves his wife.
Right.
One thing I know, when you're around him, you could just feel the love.
Right.
But one thing I know for sure, she loves her husband.
Right.
Like, she was just like, me and her talk a lot. She was like, yo, I didn't ever think I'd ever find anyone that could ever make me feel this amount of love. Like, coming from where she's from, you know, that's rare. So, like, for people, I applaud her and Cardi and stuff like that, because they've had some hard lives and hard backgrounds. Coming from the Bronx, that's not us. You don't feel like you're the queen from there, but they found men to respect them, honor them, and once I can say it and I stress it, to marry them.
Right.
So the fact that,
but you know, there's a certain kind of woman though, like Remy, Cardi, like you, like y'all ain't y'all ain't trying to like let a dude just come around and just like not be professional. You know what I mean? Like, you got to come proper. And you got to marry me, and you got to do that. And
yeah,
there's certain women out there that will demand that out of someone. And Remy's that kind of woman. Cardi's that kind of woman. You're that kind of woman. And so, you know, I said this whole 50 and Papoose thing. I don't even think it's anything really.
The media's
there.
Hyping it up.
Yeah, but I don't even think it's the media, right? Like, it's just some kind of things going back and forth. But they know each other. Like, Remy and Fifth are cool.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
but if Pap say, yo, because he disrespected, you can't be cool with him no more, what type of decision? Like, it could get real like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, she got to side with her husband.
She got to side with her husband. But what if he be like, well, I was going to... Because, you know, everybody thinks when you hang around 50, you're automatically going to be on power. It doesn't work like that. But chances are... I hope it just doesn't mess up or destroy any future business, because I honestly don't think that Fifth meant. He was just like, yo, like, you look good. But then when Pap said something back, then Fifth posted a picture of Nicki.
But the thing, you gotta realize, the thing about 50 Cent, like, he goes after everybody on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, he's been an enemy of just about everybody at one
point. Except for me.
But it's not really that deep. I don't think it's, with him, I don't even think it's that deep. He's just kind of throwing, he's throwing shots. And if you throw shots back at him,
he doesn't care. You should be busy. I'm like, rich people ain't got nothing else to do. He has so much money, he has nothing else to do but to have fun. Yeah. And he picks fights, and they say he's a bully, but I'm just like, he's, honestly, from the man that I know, I'm just like, yo, he's so cool.
I mean, he's not really a bully. He's not really putting hands on people, right? He's just joking.
Just joking. And he uses social media. Next thing you know, he does what he does. But speaking of putting hands on someone, this is the story I couldn't wait to discuss because it's you talking about twisted, turned, and then took a left at Albuquerque. I don't know where the hell this story is going. LaShawn McCoy. Does anybody know who he is? LaShawn McCoy has been... His name is, for the last 2 days, he's been dragged through the mud. So, how many kids do they got together? Because ain't she somebody else's baby mother? She's Michael Vick's brother's baby.
Yeah, she's Michael Vick's baby mother.
Not Michael Vick's baby mother, the brother.
The brother, Marcus Vick.
Marcus Vick. Right. So, and she got allegedly, let me just say this, she got a couple of ex-millionaires. Like, they say she used to be, they said Floyd used to be flying her out. A lot of people be flying her out. But then she wound up settling down with LaShawn McCoy. Well, allegedly, the day that she was supposed to be going to court because he wanted her evicted out of his house because they're not married, but she was in his house the night before, she was viciously and brutally attacked. Well, when she was at the hospital, and I was like, damn, she snatched on the damn beat up picture. I was just like, why do people take a picture of you in the hospital all bloodied up and then post it on social media? But where a lot of people say, I smell something, some foul play, but they're pointing the finger at LaShawn. The mother reposted it. The best friend posted it. Then she said the lawyer, what the girl name is, Delisha lawyer said, take it down. But they were pointing the finger at LaShawn. But LaShawn was allegedly not in Atlanta, but she was supposed to get out of the house. The day she supposed to get out of the house, the night before, she get pistol whipped by some men that broke in the house. And now we're here. And he is like, I was nowhere near you. I haven't even talked to you. So a lot of people that I saw in the comment section, because you know, comment sections are the best investigators. They don't crack the XXX Tentacion murder. They will crack a case within seconds. But instead of letting the police do their job, they done cracked the case. And they said, LaShawn didn't do that. This is a thin line between love and hate situation. You did that to yourself because you ain't had nowhere to go. You should have just went to your mama house. And the fact that the mother hashtagged and added, I believe they added y'all, all the blogs and everybody else, and say he's an animal. They say he beat the son for peeing in the bed. They got to flip the mattress so many goddamn times. They said this shit. They beat the dog till the kidney fell out. I'm like, the dog? Mo, the dog?
You are so right. I mean, this whole story.
It's everywhere.
That story does not make any sense for a number
at
one.
All. They fucked up.
Right. They messed it up. Because think about it. Like, if the story is that Delisha was in some home in Atlanta, and then
sleeping,
a bunch of men Powell came in and attacked her and beat her, right?
Like, let's say
that happened, right? If that happened to you or me, like, we would just be like, police, I want you to find these men, whatever else. Like, she went on social media that day
immediately
and started blaming this dude. You know what I mean?
Like, but it wasn't her. It was the best friend.
Well,
that said, I'm sick of this. You're an animal. You're a disgrace.
Whoever
you should
it
be
is,
kicked out the NFL.
Whoever it is should not, like, that's not your first response. When you got attacked by some random person, your first response is find out what's going on, get yourself to a safe place, find out how these people know
get
me.
Get them kids to a safe place.
That's what I mean. You're not thinking about blaming some dude that you and staying in his house or whatever else. Like, they automatically put two and two together and just started blaming this dude and start talking about him beating dogs and start like.
And kids.
Yeah. How does it come? How do you get from you being attacked to this dude beating up a dog?
And they like said, we never liked you.
That's not the way your thought process works. Like, that sounds like they just wanted to kind of get this dude, and this whole, you know, that whole alleged home invasion might be just some kind of, like, setup. Because even that story, like, and her lawyer is suggesting that LaShawn McCoy
had it done,
may have had something to do with that home invasion, with those guys coming in.
Do you think he would really want his home invaded?
You were going to court the next day. Like, if he had lost in court and then set these niggas in, then I'd have been like, all right. But you didn't even lose. You didn't even shoot your shot. You didn't even shoot your shot yet. And now you're putting the dudes in there. You brought the goons in. I don't believe it. And on top of that, he's an NFL player. He's one of the top NFL players right now. He's at kind of like the twilight of his career.
Yeah.
He can get, he's getting his big money right now. You really think that he's thinking about that like that? Like, because he could just keep her in there, whatever, cut off the lights, whatever
no,
you gotta do.
No, I think
do,
he wanted her
just
out.
Go get, you know, I'm sure he did, no, but I'm saying, is he really trying to like throw
was
his life
true?
Away
did
for
they
that?
Say they cut off, like, it was no water? It was like
that's
nothing.
That's what I mean. Like, that's
he
how you do it.
Cut everything off and
that's
they were just like, yo, you gotta go.
That's exactly how you do it. And he was doing it. See what I mean? Like,
they
the dude was doing it properly.
This,
you take
it
to court, cut off the lights. You know what I mean? So he was doing it
but
right.
But why couldn't they just remove her from the premises? Why was she staying
well,
there?
Well, there's like a whole eviction process. It's in Atlanta,
Georgia's different?
Now, Georgia is cool. Like, Texas is cool. You get somebody out your house real quick. But if you're in New York, you know, it's crazy. Or in Philly.
Because if they get
you will never,
there,
you will never get them out your crib. Like, if somebody is
you
in
have
your
to burn
crib,
that bitch down,
get,
down there.
Basically. I mean, if what? It had to happen in New York, I'd have believed it a little bit more. But in Georgia, you could get people out your crib if they're not paying rent and they're not, you know.
I'm really trying to figure out why. When it comes to stuff like that, like, look at Ray Rice's career. He's done. A lot of this stuff happens, and it always, it just, people don't understand. Don't you know you look suspicious? There are so many similar stories to this because people say, oh, no, not this. We just got over this situation and this and that, and they immediately point a finger, and usually they'll side with the acute. They'll usually go to take the girl's side and be like, yeah, why could you do this? But people have really been like, something don't feel right. And usually they was like, I smell fish in the water.
It's like that Me Too that I was saying. Like, if you're like the Me Too, I was saying, like, if you're a dude that's out there like being with a lot of women, it's easy for a woman to be like, oh, this dude raped me, or this dude sexually yeah. assaulted me. And it's you kind of say, yeah, I see him with a lot of dudes, a lot of women, maybe he is that kind of guy like that.
Yeah.
And if you're a football player and your job is to run
yeah,
hard and smash
about,
into
watch
people,
concussion.
Yeah, and if you're a woman and you say, oh, he beat me, like, everybody's like, oh, yeah, we believe it. Look how big this dude is. I see how violently he runs on the court. Yes, yeah. I believe he beat you. Right? Like, without any evidence, without anything.
Like, no type of video, just a picture of her in a hospital. I'm like, who took the picture? Like, why do y'all do that? Why do people get on social media and cry? I've seen people, the baby just pop out, and I'm like, y'all not going to risk that motherfucker off before you, he's here. Like, are you kidding me?
Think about that.
What
picture,
is that?
The picture, if you look carefully, the picture had a filter on it.
Hello,
so you look
in. I was wondering, is it my fault? I kept on cleaning it. I'm just like, why?
Yeah. So
what is it? Do they want attention? What do people want?
I think she had an agenda, right? Like, because number two, if let's assume that this whole thing was plotted by her. I don't know that it was, but let's assume that it was for a second.
Yeah, that's what they
think
said.
About it, right? Like, if after they did this to her, she really don't have anything. She don't even have the, she don't have her man because he ain't there anymore. She don't have the place, right? Because she ain't got attacked in that place. She's not trying to go back there. Yeah. She lost it all, right? So at that point, she's just lashing out. She's like, okay, let me take this dude down too.
With me.
You know what I mean? Like, so allegedly, I don't know. I'm not saying that that's what she would do, but I'm just okay. saying like, that's the kind
of. This is a lifetime
thought process
now.
That's it. So I think, but from my standpoint, if she really did get attacked, right? Why, if you believe that LeSean McCoy is the kind of man that whoops your ass, that is willing to send goons into breaking into your crib and get you, you know what I mean? You need to get away from this dude.
Yes.
He don't really owe you anything anyway, right? Like, you in his house, you've been living in his house for a couple of months, you probably weren't paying any rent. All right.
Yeah.
Like, what do you really want from this dude at this point?
You
right?
Know
like,
what?
You should want to be away from this dude. You should want to be like, I want nowhere.
I would get far away from
right.
it. But they say, you know what? People are, they are so used to, she posted something, people reposted it, and they said, you know, they always, oh, look at that caption. She was crying out for help 2 days before, when she said, do you know how many people have to forcibly smile to get on social media to post a picture? You don't have to post shit.
Well, the other thing, too, is, according to LeSean McCoy,
you don't have to. You
according
do know
to LeSean
that.
McCoy, he hasn't seen this woman in months.
And that's
right?
Everybody has vouched for him, because I be seeing him out, and I never have seen, I haven't seen him together in a long time.
That's what I'm saying. So
but she left
this,
before.
And she was posting stuff about him, some crazy stuff about him early on. She was talking about,
just
I caught him cheating with an escort.
With a hooker.
Yeah. But he wasn't even with her.
But then she went back. What is it? My homie posted this one day, and I was just like, that's a real. So he said, y'all don't really want these niggas. And it's not that y'all don't even want them to be with somebody else. Y'all just want a dad. That's deep. So many people are getting into relationships. They don't like the person. They don't love themselves enough to lead them. But because that missing father, that absentee thing, and it's not like, oh, my daddy ain't never, but he bought me some Jordan. It's not what you buy. These women, and I'm not saying this is her per se, but there are a lot of women, and that's why I don't suffer from it. And that's why I'll leave in a minute. Soon as it don't agree with my spirit, fuck what I feel like that day. Oh, everybody gets on somebody's nerves at some point. But if it don't agree with my spirit, I got to go. Because once that spirit is destroyed, I don't care. Oh, that bitch is foreign. She look good. Bitch, that's a demon. Because you sitting up here. Because now that shit travels down to your children.
You're right.
And you're infecting and you're infesting and you're daggone destroying a whole generation. Because then they think, oh, my daddy did it, so I'm going to do it. So because she had nobody say, you don't have to take this. You don't have to do this. You don't have to post on social media. Right. Bitch, you can fast. You can fast from dick. You can fast from niggas. You can fast from abuse. You can get away from, you can rid yourself of, because you're so immune to it. You've become your own problem.
You're right. You're right. I mean, and remember too, this isn't just about a dude
Where's
cheating
the pretty
on her.
Bitches with
According
ambition.
To her, he been whooping on her. You know what I mean?
So word it's is like, they've been rumbling in that house.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, as ratchet and as loud and as slick as my mouth is, I'm knock on wood, I ain't never been hit. Cause I shoot back, but at the end of the day, I'm just like, if you can't fight, the fuck your own nigga this summer. Bitch, you did nobody. This nigga whooping your ass for all of us. Like, I don't get it.
What is pushing?
That's another thing. What is triggering these men to attack? Like, whoever did this was cool with beating a bitch ass.
It's wild too. This is second home invasion that where a woman got attacked, right? Like the whole.
And these houses, this ain't the size of this room. These is a millionaire mansion.
That's what I'm saying. This is not in the hood.
Fuck?
You know what I mean? This is.
I don't get it.
This is in. I mean, when Richard Kidd, when he was involved in that home invasion, that was in the Hollywood Hills.
Who left the gate open?
I'm saying that's one of the most exclusive places in the world
exactly.
to live.
So the
and they running up in your
the
crib.
Security at the where I live, where my condo is. If you answer that phone, ain't nobody getting in. Who the fuck left the gate open?
Right.
So remember when T.I. couldn't even get in his own house?
Right.
Bitch, I live here. My HOA, my home association fees, pays your damn salary. Bitch, I can't get him out there. He got arrested.
Right.
What? Who let they ass in? And why she ain't got no damn cameras in that house?
I mean, she well, probably because the electricity was cut off.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yo! You know what? I ain't even think of that. But you know what's crazy? Now, what is she going to do?
I mean,
you got to play. What the 48 Law of Power says, plan that thing to the end. They ain't playing to the end. They thought that was his end, and it's just a motherfucking beginning.
I mean, she's going to end up doing what I think a lot of women end up caught
that?
Up in, right? Which is... You when a lot of
Write
times you see these women nah, when they get like their back against the wall, they just keep fighting the dude over and
out
over
of
and over again.
Desperation, people right. do anything.
And you see it, and I can't tell you how many times I've seen women. And a lot of times too, I know a lot of these women because they'll be feeding me information in situations.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just got to cut a dude loose for your own spirit. You know what I mean?
Because for your own safety spirit.
Yeah, because it's not like you fighting this
it's
battle
unhealthy.
Is not gonna. You there's nothing to win at the end. If you win. You will get, you know, you might feel like you might get some satisfaction out of it, but you're not going to get any satisfaction out of it. And it's going to take you years off your life. You are not moving on. There's bigger and better things for you in this world. And you over here focusing on this dude who you talking about beat you or cheated and whatever.
About you.
That's what I mean. And you spending 2-3 years of your life. I can't tell you how many women that I know. I know this one woman, she was the wife of a prominent NBA player.
Dang.
Can't tell you. She was like miserable and was like tormenting this dude through the marriage. Eventually they ended up going through divorce, and she spent her whole, like she spent years, like kept on going at this dude, kept on dragging him back to court, whatever else. I could tell you this woman literally destroyed her life.
Is it?
She was a beautiful woman. She had everything in the world, and I'm not going to say nothing.
I know who
I'm not
going to
say nothing. But she
and
destroyed
that bitch,
her
was that
life.
The one that was sleeping outside? They said, oh, this bitch done lost her mind.
I'm saying this is a beautiful woman sleep who was out. On top of the world, sorry. Married to one of the most successful people in the world, and destroyed her life because she couldn't just let this man go. And sometimes you just got
to
let somebody leave your life.
Couch. I knew him before. Right. Oh, well, bitch.
Right.
When he get, like, it is
Take the
it
bag,
is.
You know what I mean? Get as much money as you can out of him on the way out.
Because that's all they
But then you got
money.
To move on. You got to move on.
Some of us were raised different. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Fred, because, whew, I needed this in my life. Oh, get the microphone. Y'all can step in front of the microphone, or he'll bring it to you or whatever. If you have your questions, because You don't get this kind of behind the scenes information often.
No, this is good.
This is real.
I love how
you know. How are you, sister?
So, question. Don'tDateEm.com, right? What happened to that site? Do you know?
Yeah, so it was the don'tDateEm.com was a website where people could just, you can log on and then basically put somebody on blast. Like, let's say someone in your life that you didn't, you had a bad date with someone, they did you dirty. You could put their information, their photograph, wow, their pictures, and all the dirty things that they did to you.
That's so
on
stubborn.
This website. Yeah, so there was a bunch of legal problems with that. It's not entirely clear that you could legally just do that. They were, from a legal standpoint, they were trying to, they were using a loophole
like
to kind of get away.
But they were
trying to use a loophole to get around that.
Freedom of speech.
Yeah, well, something like that. But it didn't work. Yeah. And so the website kind of, they got caught up in a lot of legal battles. And I think it's still up right now, but because of the kind of bad press and all the legal battles, it's not as prominent as it used to be.
Oh, okay.
But
I think that site was beneficial. No, it's beneficial. Like, say you're dating a guy, and all he do is, and that night he stole out your wallet,
right,
and then you can't find him no more.
Meet
on don'tDateEm.com, you put his picture up, you say he hang at this club, don't take him home,
right,
he stole out of my wallet, and then you could just put everybody on blast. Don't date him, he gonna tell you he got a dream, he can't really play ball, and when he go overseas, he be with this girl. And then people...
But he don't really be overseas, he just be with somebody else.
Yes, there. And then people are exposed, and it saves some of us from dating some
of
the plug.
Was it a hard time proving the validity of it?
Well, anyone could do it. Like, I could go on the website right now. I could take a picture of you right now.
Who has that kind of time?
Put it up there and then, like, write whatever I want.
No, when it's real, you got the time. If somebody steal out my wallet, I'm going to sit down for 2 hours at the library. Like, this is him. This is picture. And nobody date him. But that was, like, a beneficial site. That's why I asked. Yeah, because there's a lot of don't date 'ems out here.
Yeah,
but
there are. But the thing about it now is with all the social media out here, people will get up in your comments and will tell on you, right?
So I've been saying
a lot of times people, dudes will think they could get away with some crazy stuff. If you look through their comments, like if all you ladies out there that think about dating a dude, go on his Instagram, don't just look at the pictures, look at them comments. You might see some stuff in there and they might tell you some stuff about your man.
People be telling too much. People be ratting. People be like, that's how they cracked all the cases. Like, people be posting the way they found, they said the way they found XXX Tentacion's killer was because somebody saw some orange flip-flops and the boy posted on social media, so somebody verified him through his orange flip-flops and a red mask.
Right.
Social media is a gift and a curse, but honestly, that's the quickest way they can, that's how they caught all of the criminals for the junior up in the Bronx, that situation.
I mean, remember, think about it too. Remember, there was a time when if you were out in the streets and doing stuff, you really didn't want your picture anywhere.
Everybody like this.
Yeah, you didn't want your photo. You don't want anything because they knew that once they could get your photo, they could put you in a lineup. They could do a lot of stuff with you.
Yeah.
But nowadays, everybody's got their social media. Everybody's trying to get this clout. Like, it's not just good enough to have this street clout.
Damn.
You
got to
have this social media clout.
Well, what
too.
Do they get from that? What do you get from clout chasing?
That's what the, this
like,
is.
What
this
kind
is
of
the world that we live in. We live in a world where it's like you can have money, you can have fame. Like, fame is a weird thing, right? Like, fame used
it's
to
a
mean
price to it too.
But fame used to mean like I do something that a lot of people like to see. So I'm a great singer, I'm a great actress,
yeah,
or whatever. That was a famous person. But at some point, the idea of being your fame and talent just moved in two different directions. I think Kim Kardashian was one of the first people to kind of show you that it can happen like that. But now, the idea of fame has nothing, it has nothing to do with your talent. You could be an extremely talented person and really not be famous.
Yeah.
You could be selling thousands and thousands of records, have people out there that are going to your concerts and not be famous. And you could be a person who farts on Instagram and have 10 million followers.
Or you could do the Shiggy dance and then it blows up overnight and then everybody.
That dude actually has some talent.
No, that's right? The homie. Like, he was supposed to be here and then he blew up and then now he all booked. He put a booking in for his butt, started making t-shirts. And I'm just like, that it literally can happen overnight.
Right.
But I guess to sustain it is what's really
well,
the
that's
key.
The thing too, right? Like, if you can get famous,
sustenance,
right? But if you don't have, like, with you, you're out there touring, you're performing, you're whatever. So people,
work my ass off.
People always see you out there. But what if you're not touring? What do you have to do to keep people in your mind? You have to continually go out there and do crazy things on the internet. Because if you're not doing crazy, that's what your job is.
Ain't that like, crazy? The crazy
your job
is
to go out there and do some crazy stuff on the internet. It's to take pictures with famous people. It's to say crazy things. It's
I'm
to be interesting.
Bro, we
in
working. They be like, you don't even know him, nigga. Yo, the internet is undefeated.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yo, it's wild out there. Yeah. Was that? What was one of the like? Some of the craziest thing you just like, was there ever one time you be like, you know, this is some bullshit, I give up. Like, what's the craziest thing you've ever in your life seen on the internet and be like, this is some bullshit?
I mean, it's hard to say.
Does anything surprise you anymore? Or you just be like, oh, fuck.
Like, it doesn't, except like those videos, like the videos now is what kind of gets me, right? Like, especially when you starting to see, like when Junior was killed, right?
And yes! Because,
and you saw it, right? Like, this is some things, we hear about this stuff, but when you could actually see this young man, and you could watch him, like, literally running, trying to get away for his life, and the dudes come over there and hit him with that blow. So that's the kind of thing right now that, like, the internet is showing, right? Like, we've gotten cameras in our phones where people will pull out a camera in a second.
Before they call the cops.
Right. But, and you know, at first I was like, wow, you know, you don't want them to do that. But now you don't even know what these cops are really going to do with this information. Right.
Now.
You might be better off with a million likes.
Just getting the
and a photograph
there,
and a video than some detective that's not going to really, you know, care about this case. Because you look at this, had they not videotaped that, you think we would even know about Junior? You think we would even care about it, right? Like, we wouldn't.
What do you think about people saying that the artists that showed up to go show love to the fans, they're like, oh, they doing that because they just want to be seen for likes. They didn't mean it from their heart. It's almost like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But let's say that they even did it just for clout or whatever it is. What difference does it make, right? Like, they are coming out there to celebrate the life of this young man. And, like, for you as a person, you know, as a family member, as a person that loves him, you should be happy that there are people out there that are remembering him. Because think about how many kids are out there right now that are losing their lives. And ain't nobody showing up to their funeral.
Ain't that crazy?
You know, I've been to plenty of funerals in my life where there were only, like, a couple of people, you know? There were, like, a couple of family members. And that's it. Now, here you had a whole outpouring of love and support from celebrities, from the world. And when you have that, I mean, nothing's going to obviously bring this young man back. But when you have that, I think it's got to feel better to have that than not, you know?
Damn. Well, give everyone your social media. Are you on social media at all? You just be like, when I go home, I'll be dad and friend.
Yeah, I'm going to start being on social media right now. I mean, it was, I know, right?
He got 30 million people on his one side.
Yeah,
website's
got social media, so go on Media Take Out MTO News on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So it's all there. But for me personally, it's just, I think a lot of times it's an adjustment, right? Like I started this company 11 years ago and I was putting 100% of my time into it. Now I've got a wife, I've got three kids, and you got to try and balance that out. And there's other things that I like to do too. I like to do some social stuff too. So I've been trying to kind of figure out this balance in my life, which I don't really have much of a balance. I spend too much time working. But I'm trying to spend more time with my kids and my family. So I'm trying to figure out a way to kind of work this social media.
To balance it all.
Yeah, because I don't want to be me, like my presence out there, and then my work at Media Takeout, and then my work at home. I'm trying to live, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to kill myself.
Right.
Life is great. You know?
A lot of people don't realize they not live. They ain't even been out their city. Before we go, I'm going to do these three. I'm going to do five words. Just say the first thing that come to mind, and that's how we're going to go out. So I'm going to just do the thank yous, and we're going to say five words for Fred, and whatever comes to your mind, you just say it. I want to thank to the audience for joining us today, to Next Level Publishing, to OG Podcast Network, to everybody peeking in. Yes, yes, yes. I need some of them 30 million viewers for me to take out to come over here peek in my ass so we can get these sponsorship dollars so I can get a new wig. New wig. Now, so, yeah, appreciate you, because if you don't peek, then my kids don't eat. And it's a lot of those motherfuckers. All right, so I'm going to say five words. Whatever comes to your mind, just say it. Let me see. Gossip.
Media Takeout.
Ratchet.
Cardi B.
Thotty.
Amber Rose.
Confrontational.
50 Cent.
Love.
My wife, Victoria.
All right. That's it. Thank you so much for joining us today, Fred.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Till next time, we out here.